This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's just gone 10 past 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Thursday morning. I usually have a guest on Thursday, Brother Idris Khamisa. He is currently visiting Canada, and today he's in the city of Vancouver. So we will be unable to contact Idris, and inshallah, Aziz, I will be doing the program with you alone today, inshallah. But you're going to look at a very interesting thing, very interesting insight into history, and this is the issue of the art of mass manipulation. Who invented celebrities? So this story that comes out of a website called onislam.net, we're going to be looking at the art of mass manipulation and how do we now start, or how have we started respecting and honoring and looking up to and being interested in celebrities, and how, what is their role in us buying things out of emotion and the like thereof. So we're going to be looking at this, inshallah, as is a very interesting aspect, and we'll be taking a look at that during the first half of our program perhaps, and then in the second half we'll look at a few different issues, making worry-free decisions, particularly for Muslim sisters who feel uncertain when it comes to making decisions and are always uncertain what they should decide, what they should choose. We're going to be taking a look at some advice on how to deal with that, inshallah al-Aziz. So that's all coming up on Al-Mashriq this morning. Looking forward to your company. Stay tuned. I'll be back just after the break.
KNC Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabric. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Linasia, 011-852-4910. KNC, usually unusual fabrics.
Mr. Magman offers you motor spares, accessories, workshop, fitment center, exhaust bay and mags and tires, situated at number 1 Amt Hill Avenue on the corner of Wilstead Street in Benoni. Call us on 011-845-4161. Who's the man? Mr. Magman.
Africa Cash and Carry. We offer regular promotions at the lowest possible prices. Bulk buyers enjoy fantastic deals and many, many in-store specials. We stock a large variety of merchandise from cosmetics, toiletries, hair and household products, perfumes, cell phones and accessories, electrical appliances and jewelry, and hardware at very low prices. Africa Cash and Carry has over 25 years experience. Call us on 011-661-6600.
Are you planning a long-distance trip, or does your company require hiring of buses? Is there a major event coming up but transport is a problem? There's no need to stress. Freeway Coaches is just a call away. We cater for general bus hire for long-distance trips to Cape Town and Durban in our luxury and semi-luxury coaches. Please note, we only hire out buses. For your transport needs, call us on 011-852-5417.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Maulana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Maulana Yahya Bam, Maulana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. An interesting article indeed. Who invented celebrities? The question is, do you know who invented celebrities and who taught people to look up to celebrities as role models? A person by the name of Edward Bernays. He is called the father of spin. Now, he practically invented the practice of mass manipulation techniques that are still used on us today to influence our decisions, not just our purchasing decisions, but even our political choices as well. It was him who said This is what he said. He said, if you could use propaganda for war, you could certainly use it for peace. Propaganda got to be a bad word because of the Germans using it. So what I did was to try to find some other words. So we found the word Council on Public Relations. It was the first time the word had ever been used. Since the end of the 19th century, America had become a mass industrial society. Now, it was an image of an industrial society, just factories and people going to work and returning from work, and that was basically it. Millions of people clustered together in the cities, and Bernays was now determined to find a way to manage and alter the way that these new crowds thought and felt for the benefit of the corporations that were trying to sell their products to them. Now, the corporations had to sell their products to these people, but these people had a single focus, and that is to go to the work, produce for the country, and come home, and that was it. There was nothing further involved and included in this. You know, they wouldn't spend on anything else. They wouldn't go into luxuries. They wouldn't explore different things, different colors, different tastes, different issues. And so the corporations were worried that how are we going to sell the things to them? So he was looking for a way of being able to sell to them. Now, to do this, he turned to the writings of his uncle, Sigmund Freud. And he began to formulate the idea that you had to play to people's irrational emotions. And now he set out to experiment with the minds of the popular classes of people. His most dramatic experiment was to persuade women to smoke. Now, how did he get women to start smoking? Listen to this. It's very, very interesting. It will give us a perspective of our behavior today and whether we are affected by his principles of mass manipulations that he has brought into the world. Now, at that time, there was a taboo against women smoking. And the president of the American Tobacco Corporation asked this man, Edward Bernays, to find a way of breaking that taboo. So that is what he did. His plot involved persuading rich women to light, and in inverted commas, what he called the torches of freedom in a public parade. So he told all of these rich women that you go out onto the streets, you walk on the streets, and go and light your cigarettes and go and smoke publicly in the streets. And then on the other side, he tipped the media off and told them, you put the scandal on the front pages right across America. And when they put this on the front pages, the whole world was seeing what American rich women were doing on the streets. The rest is history. They just all then took on to smoking because these rich and famous women were smoking. Now, his trick was that irrelevant objects could become powerful emotional symbols of how you want to be seen by others. So he was being paid to sell more products to more people, and he was not selling it to the intellect of people, but rather to your irrational emotions. This is an important point for us to recognize. So he sold the product based on how the product promised to make you feel, regardless of how good the product actually was or whether you even needed the product at all. There's nothing to do with the quality or the comfort, or we didn't even use the word comfort, but rather the quality or the build of the product. But it was more about how the product made you feel. And with this breakthrough in his thinking and in his approach, he basically rescued American mass production manufacturers from worrying that there would come a point when people had enough goods and would simply stop buying, because this was the trend and this was the line that people were going in. That if you had a, say for example, if you had a vacuum cleaner in your home, then, I don't even know if it was invented by that time. Say for example, if you had a stove in your home, people would say, okay, you know, I've got a stove, I don't need another stove which gives me this features, that features, that features. I've got a shoe, and the shoe is serving its purpose. I don't need a shoe that is going to make me step on air, and that's going to make me jump higher, make me walk faster, make me feel better. No. Or I have this clothes and this is sufficient for me. I don't need clothes that are made out of this wool and that wool. It makes me feel this like the, like this and like that and like the other. And so people would have enough products, and the corporations were afraid that people would now not want to indulge in other things and buy different types of products. So he rescued these corporations by appealing to how the product made the masses feel, how the product made the masses feel, not how the product actually was and the quality of the product. Now, up until that moment, whether it is shoes, or cars, whatever it was, furniture, they were promoted as functional items. They were advertised for their durability, that how long will they last, and the purpose that they served, that the shoe would is like this, and this is what it's used for, whatever else, and good qualities of the shoe, and people would buy it based on that. Now, he made the corporations realize that they can sell a lot more of their items if they shifted their direct strategy to a more manipulative technique. And one leading Wall Street banker wrote, "We must shift America from a needs to a desires culture. People must be trained to desire, to want new things, even before the old had been entirely consumed. We must shape a new mentality in America. Man's desires must overshadow his needs." And this is the principle that the corporations use, and this is how they manipulate us as consumers, and they manipulate our thinking and our mind. It was just yesterday. Just yesterday was the launch of the iPhone 5S, and there was a huge excitement on the internet and social media and Twitter, and you'd find people say, "Oh, I wish I could get my hands on it, and I'm really looking forward to it." And everybody knows the specs of the iPhone, and many of us do that. We have functional cell phones, but we are desiring, and we always want the later model, or what is seemingly the better model, and what would seemingly make us more productive. And just one tweet that I read the other day is that the greatest deception of modern times is that newer technology equals better productivity. It's a great deception, because newer technology will not necessarily make us more productive. It is how much we give in. So another issue, or another tactic used by Bernays, was that he used famous people to sell products and ideas. So he began to create many of the techniques of mass consumer persuasion that we are now living with. He was employed by William Randolph Hearst to promote his new women's magazines. So Bernays glamorized them. He put articles and advertisements that linked products made by others of his clients to famous film stars who were also his clients. So these film stars were his clients, and the corporations wanted to sell the items were his clients, and so he linked these articles and those advertisements together. And Bernays also began the practice of product placement in movies. And what he would do, and you know what is product placement in movies, when Superman uses a particular brand of cell phone, or when the famous hero drives a particular brand of car, or when he wears a particular name of shoe, or different clothing labels that the sports people, etc., use. Now, that is product placement. And this is what influences our buying and our spending decisions. And he also dressed the stars at the film's premieres with clothes and jewelry from other firms that he represented. And so he created the red carpet legend for both the actors and the viewers. And people who read the magazines and newspapers, and who go onto the news websites and things like that, they would see that often said, okay, this person was dressed like this, and this person was wearing a dress from Versace, and this person was wearing shoes from Jimmy Choo, or this person was wearing Libertines, whatever. And so this is what he introduced, and he started off, that these film stars must wear clothing from these different corporations and companies. And so people will say, okay, now this celebrity wears this thing, so I think it should be a good product and good thing, and I think I should also wear it. So he created the red carpet legend. And until then, there wasn't an issue of a red carpet and who comes dressed as what and how they come dressed. But then from then, that whole culture started off. And then he employed psychologists to issue reports that said products were good for you. So he paid the psychologist, and the psychologist twisted and bent and manufactured and produced these said reports, and the report said that, well, okay, you know, this product is good for you, this product will make you feel better, this product will make you sleep better, this product will make you more productive, make you happier. And then he pretended that these were independent studies. He paid celebrities to repeat the new and essential message that you bought things not just for need, but to express your inner sense of yourself to others. And this is what celebrities would repeat often in their public appearances, that you have bought things not just for need, but to express your inner sense of self to others. And so that is why you have these different motor vehicles, individual. So you go into buying a motor vehicle and you spec it up into this color leather and that plastic finish and these extra features and that extra electronics and that extra rim or that thickness and broadness of a tire and that color and that plastic finish. And then you say, no, I'm an individual because I'm expressing myself through my motor vehicle. So this makes the consumer feel greater, feel better. It strokes the consumer's ego, and so the consumer would buy more and more. And similarly, with everything else as well. So he soon became famous. He became very famous, and he was seen as the man who understood the mind of the crowd. In 1924, there was a president of America called President Coolidge. The press portrayed him as a dull, humorless figure. And so the president contacted this Edward Bernays and told him what his problem was. So he did the same with him as he did with the products. And he persuaded 34 famous film stars to visit the White House. And for the first time, politics became involved with public relations. The next day, every newspaper in the United States had a front page story. President Coolidge entertains actors at White House. And then he became popular and became famous. Politics became popular and famous. And this gives us a good insight into how actors, singers, football players, sports stars, all of these different types of people have been turned into our minds into so-called heroes, so-called idols, and has taught us to basically worship these individuals. And in actual fact, if we really think about it, and we ponder and just weigh what these people have done, you won't find anything particularly heroic about any of the activities that these people do. But this man called Edward Bernays managed to convince the world that famous people actually are automatically credible role models to follow and emulate in their every move. And that's why you find people the world over, wherever you go, they would be wanting to follow and emulate these famous people. And this is something that we need to understand and we need to really grasp. Now, the link is very obvious, and this irrational and emotional link, this is what it is. There's no connection between somebody's ability to act, sing or do sports and their moral values or intellectual abilities. And this is what we need to understand, that if a person is able to act, it doesn't mean that this person has high moral values. It doesn't mean that this person is intelligent. If this person is able to sing and is a popular and good singer, it doesn't mean that this person has high moral values. In actual fact, what we are seeing transpiring in these recent days is that the people who act and sing have some of the lowest moral values. And this is just scraping. This is just scraping the surface. If you have to dig deeper and look deeper into their lives, you'll find that they are actually morally perhaps the worst of society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Also, if a person does sports, it doesn't indicate that the person is intelligent, it doesn't indicate the person has high moral values. Well, the question comes that why is his trick still working? Why is his trick still working? Now, his legacy of deception and mass manipulation still lives on today. And we are all falling for it exactly like our gullible great-grandparents fell for it. And the system is used over and over again. And all that is happening is that we are going to, we are falling more and more into this consumerism trap. And now we understand why consumerism and materialism is so important for us, because it appeals, and through the system that he is using, it is appealing to our emotions, our irrational emotions, stroking our ego, making us feel better. And we are buying products more because of how they make us feel, rather than the practical application and the abilities of those products. It's just gone 29 minutes before 12. You're listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Inshallah, we'll continue after this break. Stay tuned.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
The Pick and Pay price drop is back. Loads of way to save this winter. Jacob's Cronin Coffee, instant or mild, 200 grams, 72 rand 99. Maggie 2-minute noodle family pack, 292 grams, 8 rand 99. Sunfoil sunflower oil, 2 liter, 29 rand 79. Flora regular or light medium fat spread tub, 1 kg, 36 rand 99. Snowflake cake wheat flour, 2.5 kg, 19.99. Buy Snowflake cake wheat flour 2.5 kg and Snowflake baking powder refill 200 grams free, worth 14 rand 99. Save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your smart shopper vouchers only at Pick and Pay. Always there for you. Prices valid 12 September to 15 September. Prices apply to Gauteng stores only.
Contact Lanasia Livestock daily for half and whole lambs on special at current market-related prices. Leg mutton and lamb chops on special. We stock a variety of lamb and beef products and also cater for your sadaka, akika, weddings, walimas and other occasions. We offer clean, hygienic, abattoir style and refrigeration facilities. We slaughter, slice and distribute on your behalf. Kom praat met ons voor een goede deal. Ons kan iets voor jou uitwerk. Lanasia Livestock and Poultry. We are SANA approved and livestock is our business. Phone 011-857-1774 or 082-338-5687.
Our Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, has said, announce your marriage, announce your marriage, and announce your nikah. Submit the details of your marriage no later than 4 p.m. every Thursday, and be sure to listen to your nikah announcement live on Radio Islam. The nikah announcements, every Friday morning after 11 a.m. and Saturday mornings after 10. Radio Islam International, sharing your joyous moments, sharing your momentum.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Maulana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Maulana Yahya Bam, Maulana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We spoke about consumerism and we spoke about how this person, Edward Bernays, has changed the minds of people. Now, just one example. This is from a book by him. He says, take the case of toothpaste, for instance. Here is a highly competitive field in which the preponderance of public acceptance of one product over another can very legitimately rest in inherent values. However, what happens in this field? So what he's saying here is that the toothpaste industry is very competitive, and whatever the public takes to, this is going to have a great effect over the sales of the opposition's products. So he says one or two of the large manufacturers have asserted advantages for their toothpaste, which no single toothpaste discovered up to the present time can possibly have. The competing manufacturer is put in the position either of overemphasizing an already exaggerated emphasis, or of letting the overemphasis of his competitor take away his markets. He turns to the weapon of propaganda, which can effectively, through various channels of approach to the public, the dental clinics, the schools, the women's clubs, the medical colleges, the dental press, and even the daily press, bring to the public the truth of what a toothpaste can do. This will, of course, have its effect in making the honestly advertised toothpaste get to its real public. So, he's telling you about how the toothpaste is advertised, and how toothpaste, a simple thing like toothpaste, is how it makes us feel, and why we would go ahead and buy a particular brand of toothpaste. Well, that is that, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free us. You know, the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to recite in the morning and in the evening. The simple dua, but it would protect us from issues like this. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an azilla aw uzalla aw adilla aw adalla aw adlima aw udlama aw ajhala aw adlima aw udlama aw ajhala aw ujhala aw yujhala alay. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, oh Allah, I seek protection in you from that I should slip up, or that I should be made or caused to make mistakes. I seek protection in you that I should go astray, or that I should be led astray. I seek protection in you that I should commit any act of ignorance, or that some act of ignorance should be carried or committed on me. And Allah, I seek protection that I should oppress anyone, or that I should be oppressed by anyone. And inshallah, if we read this dua, we can see that the meaning of this dua is seeking protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all these different types of things, and from all this type of propaganda, and this type of emotions, and these emotions that are going to, or can, take a hold of us and influence our decisions. It was just yesterday that I was speaking to my children and telling them about the importance of the decisions that we take in our lives, and how those decisions then affect us many years on, and for a long time thereafter, how these decisions would affect us. And that brings us to our next thing of making decisions, and the decisions that we want to make. Also, it ties up with the talk, this topic of being manipulated in our consumer decisions, and how to make worry-free decisions. Often you hear the term from our sisters, I can't make decisions, I always worry that things won't turn out right, or I'm indecisive, I tend to think too much. Sister would say, I don't feel confident about my decisions. Many people have found themselves saying this. Now, we often hear phrases like these, and worrying over decisions is a real issue for many people, for many sisters particularly. Now, many sisters are wary about taking decisions, especially major decisions. They take a long time thinking about these decisions, and then they imagine all the worst possible scenarios that could ever possibly occur, and they toss their ideas around their head, they worry for days, and then they end up not moving forward at all. It's not that they don't make a decision, they do, but the decision is often that they won't want to make any changes, and they want to stay within their familiar zone. No matter how uncomfortable the familiar zone is, they don't move forward at all. Some sisters then act on their decisions, but afterwards they go over and over what they did, and then they berate themselves for not having done better, or not having done more, or not having done less, and they don't look for the possible good in what was done. And they just look at what they perceive as being bad or wrong. Now, this is a sad situation. There's so much of joy, so much of pleasure, so much of satisfaction. People are missing out. And so much of time that is needlessly wasted in making those decisions. What's the remedy to this? Firstly, let us look at these few things. And now, while we're looking at this remedy, think about the consumerism and thinking about being manipulated by this mass market that we are in, and being manipulated by the movies, TV, and the advertisements that we see, and think about how important it is to make a decision before committing to anyone. For example, you can be manipulated into getting a particular type of cell phone because of the way it's going to make you feel. Like, for example, just in this week, they started advertising the new Samsung Galaxy Note 3. And they would say it comes with this sort of processor in it, and this type of screen, and these features, and this operating system, whatever is in that mobile phone. And say this could make you productive, and better sound quality, better picture quality, and it's going to make you... And then people would say that, okay, you know, this is the cell phone for me, this is what I want. And then they're going to then say that, okay, I can't afford it outright, because to buy a cell phone like that, if you go to one of the cell shops and just ask them the price of the cell phone, well, it's going to cost you about 9,000-10,000 rands. And so they say, okay, I'll go and take a contract to get hold of that cell phone. And they say, the contract is just 500 rands a month, 600 rands a month, 700 rands I can afford them every month. But then calculate it, now you're going to pay so much of money, but it's not just for 1 month, it's going to continue for 24 months. Now, if you take that amount of, say if you're paying for your cell phone contract, an average for an expensive phone like the one I'm talking about, if you're paying, say 600 rands a month, we'll take a conservative figure, or just say 500, even more conservative, and we multiply it by 24 months, that's 12,000 rands that you have put into a mobile device. Now that you've put that 12,000 rand into a mobile device, what could you have done? What alternatives could you have spent that 12,000 rands in? If you're a father with a wife and children, then you could have used that money as a holiday package for your children. You've taken your children out for a nice little break. You could have spent that money in ridding yourself of some of the debts that you may be having, paying off your house, paying off your car, being sooner free of debt. Or you could have spent that money on your home. You could have just invested that money in some halal investment, and you could have allowed that money to grow. And so, you know, there's a lot that you could have done with that instead of just holding a cell phone in your hand, spending hours. That cell phone takes your distraction away from, takes your attention away from your family, distracts you from anything, everything. So think about it carefully. So what I said was that while we are looking at how to make a decision and how to be decisive, we think about that consumerism and how we are affected by mass media, and these steps on making a decision should inshallah assist us in not being influenced just by emotion and how a product makes us feel, but rather by the need and the practical application of that, inshallah. So the first thing is define the situation. The first stage of making a decision, sisters and brothers as well, is that be clear on what the decision is about. It might sound too obvious, but until you really analyze what you want to change and achieve and whether it fits in with your personal goals, you'll be spending time on the wrong decision. You don't even know what you're deciding on first. Is it that you just want to lose 10 kilograms in weight? Or do you also want your husband and children to lose weight? Do you just want to get a new job? Or do you want a job that enables you to better meet your responsibilities? There may be more than one thing that you have to factor in when you are making a decision. So state your desired outcome. What do you want at the end? In a positive way, so you know precisely what you hope to achieve. And don't just say, I want to stop spending so much time alone. You could decide that I want to meet some new sisters, and people who I have common interests with. So define the situation, whatever you're deciding on first, define it. Second is generate alternatives, and it's going to depend on the complexity of the decision, how long this stage will take. Complex decisions could necessitate that you sit down with a piece of paper or your journal and you brainstorm as many options as possible and follow threads of ideas, see where they take you. Let your imagination run wild, and you can also eliminate the ludicrous ideas later on. In the middle of them, you might just come up with a creative way to deal with the situation. So generate alternatives. It may also be useful to do this exercise with someone else so that we can bounce ideas off each other and come up with novel solutions. So is there an alternative to the decision that I want to take? Also make istishara. Istishara means make mashwara. One of the characteristics of the believers is that وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, that their matters are discussed, are decided by mutual consultation. So, once you have generated your own options of what is available to you, seek information from trustworthy, knowledgeable people. It may mean consulting a dietitian or maybe a careers coach, or you go research the internet, you look for the professionals in that, or you go to the ulama, or you go to elders, or whoever it is. Go to people and make mashwara about the decision that you want to take. Don't take too long. It may turn into a means of avoiding the decision, but make mashwara. And once you've got as much information as you can have, now you weigh up the pros and cons of the information that you have, and you either write them down so you can work through them, or whatever your preferred style. And maybe you can just weigh them up mentally as well, depending on the type of decision. Then make istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is important. Everything you want, Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli, O Allah, you choose for me. Allahumma alhimni marashida umuri wa aidni min sharri nafsi, O Allah, guide me to the best of my matters and save me from the evil of myself. And so you make istikhara, or you make the long dua of istikhara, which we have learned, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astaqdiruka biqudratik, the whole long dua ila akhir dua, the whole long dua, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and guidance in what the best decision should be. And so make istikhara, and then you make your decision. Make sure that you are in a good frame of mind when you want to make your decision, that your thoughts are clear, that you are not stressed. You've done istikhara, you have done mashwara, now you follow whatever you are inclined to, and whatever you feel inspired to do. And accept what Allah Ta'ala has guided you, and listen to what your heart is telling you. You've done the research, now it's time to listen to your heart. And if you don't insist on doing what you were inclined to do previously, whatever your heart is inclined to do after this istikhara, then this is what you follow. And the important part is, once you have made a decision, وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, when you have made a decision, then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you can't anticipate what the consequences will be from your decision. Accept whatever result Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you. Whether you think it's good or bad, it was what was meant to be, and it will be best for you in the long term. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that no slave of Allah will truly believe until he believes in taqdeer, the good and the evil, until he realizes that what has befallen him was not going to miss him, and that which missed him was not going to befall him. So, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't fret and fume and say, "Ah, no, I chose the wrong thing, and this is the wrong step I took, and I shouldn't have done this." And لا تقول لو. Don't say low. Don't say, if I did this, or if I chose this, things would have been different. If I did this, things would have been different. Don't say that. Whatever is done, is done. Whatever is water under the bridge has passed already. Now, you have to live with what decision you have taken. Then act on your decision. Step forward with confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for you to do what you are doing now, and do it the best that you can do. That is the important thing, that you do whatever you're doing the best that you can do. Give it your time, give it your dedication, give it your commitment, and do it the best that you can do. And after you've taken the decision, you gain more information, and you realize that another course of action would have been better. If it is possible to change paths, then you can change paths. And you know, there's very few things in life that are fixed in stone, that they can't be changed. But you know, you take your action and do the best that you can do. And whatever decision you have taken, make sure that you do it the best. That is the important thing. Sometimes we don't give things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen a certain path for us, but we don't give it our full attention, and we don't give it our full dedication and devotion. And then we turn around and we say that this thing wasn't good for me. And we haven't given it our proper attention, our proper commitment. And then we say it's not good for me. No, we have to give things our full commitment, and inshallah, through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assistance, Allah ta'ala's help will be with us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it successful for us, inshallah al-Aziz. Well, it's just about 9 minutes before 12. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back just after that. Stay tuned.
Classic Creations is having a massive clearance. Half price sale. Yes, half price sale on all abayas, men's and boys' kurtas, Swarovski sandals and accessories. Beat the rush and hurry to Classic Creations. 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Lanesia. Call them 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas.
It's that time of the year again when we prepare to celebrate the blessed day of Eid al-Adha. This auspicious occasion marks the end of the Hajj, where pilgrims are cleansed from all sin. It is also a time when we gather as a family to witness the ritual slaughter in the name of our Creator. Islamic Relief will be performing Qurbani in South Africa, Malawi and Zimbabwe. For a detailed list of countries and Qurbani prices, call 0800-111-898. Islamic Relief. We make a world of difference.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo gustaría hacer por mí, ese aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Bera's Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Bera's Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
Devlin Cash and Carry, wholesalers of a variety of household products, including cosmetics, groceries, sweets, and many more items. Visit Devlin Cash and Carry, corner Klepkas and Piston Road, Devlin, for our in-store specials. That's Devlin Cash and Carry. Telephone 011-989-8800.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashrik, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Hamisa.
Seven minutes before 12, welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We went through this discussion, very interesting discussion indeed. And it's very, very important for every one of us to be very careful about how we make our decisions and what influences our decisions. And our decisions should be based on trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making istikhara with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we want khair in whatever we do, in whatever decision we are going to be taking. And we sometimes leave istikhara just for marriage, or leave istikhara for a big thing like moving from one country to another, or for a big thing like that. But we should make istikhara more often, and bring it make it a regular feature in our lives, that we do it for even smaller things. And we have taught you the dua of istikhara, the long dua you have of istikhara, and then you have the shorter duas of istikhara. Allahumma khirli wakhtarni wakhtarli, Allahumma alhimni marashida umuri wa'idni min sharri nafsi. These are the shorter duas of istikhara. And also the dua that I taught you for the morning and evening, O Allah, I seek protection in you that I should slip and make mistakes, or I should be caused to slip, and you know, till the end of the dua. So these are the duas that we should try and read, and we should use them when it comes time to making our decisions. Decisions are the important things in our life, that they have to be made correctly, they have to be really carefully considered before they are made, and don't decide things in a hurry. You know, carefully consider all the options before you make a decision, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will be with you, and inshallah you will see less regret in your life, inshallah. Well, it's just gone now 5 to 12. You're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Shukran to my studio operator Tobelo this morning. Shukran to you for listening. Any feedback, you're most welcome to email sunaidjasad@gmail.com. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. For myself, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.